With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. We've got a return guest, one of our favorites on Guys Guys Radio, the amazing Silke Schwarzkopf. She is the host of Second Act TV. It is a exploding YouTube channel focused on relationships and dating for the over 50 crowd. And we're going to talk about just that. We're going to talk about, from a Guys Guys and a Second Act TV perspective, some of the wants and desires that people who are in the dating pool, if you will, over 50. What do they want? What are they looking for? And are they on the right track, or are they kidding themselves on some aspects of that? Because sometimes, as you know, we want things that we really want, but we find out later that they may have not been the things that are best for us. And that can certainly be attributed to the dating scene and to relationships also. So we're going to get into all of that. You know, it's interesting that the over 50 crowd, there's so many single people out there. I believe the number is around 35% of individuals in America over 50 are single. So that's a pretty deep pool of prospects out there. So if you're in that marketplace and you're looking for a new partner or for a partner just in general, there's a lot of folks out there who are looking also. So you might want to start by looking at yourself, thinking about who you are, what you have to offer somebody else, thinking about at this stage of your life, the over 50 time frame, what is important to you? Is it the same things that were important when you were 25? Probably things have changed a bit. You may have been married. You may have gotten a divorce. You may be a widow or a widower. You might have kids. Maybe not. Maybe just looking for the right companion, or you're looking for a friend with benefits partner, or you're just looking for good old-fashioned love. I know it took me a while to find the right relationship. I was over 50 when I got married. I had been very happily single for many years. I had a lot of relationships. I had a few long-term relationships. They didn't work out in the long run, but I am very appreciative of the time spent together with those partners. They're wonderful people, and I wish them nothing but the best. And after one of the big relationships of mine kind of ended, I asked myself, you know what? am I doing something wrong? Why am I not finding the right partner? And I knew during that past relationship that it probably wasn't the best one for me long term, that it had played out its string, but I had to really ask myself, what am I looking for? What am I missing? What is it about me that is impacting my search? And I think a lot of people project onto the other person and they think about, okay, this person did me wrong, that person did me wrong, I don't like the way they did this or that. And rarely do they look inside and say, what do I need to do differently? Or is there something I need to do differently? And I think it's about two things. I think number one is, for me at least, it was about, I had the epiphany that I had to look into my heart and learn that I was not providing room for somebody else to enter my heart. And that was a huge breakthrough for me, that I know I wanted to share things in life, but I wasn't making room for somebody else. And once I had that epiphany, then things became easier. And the other part of it, for me at least, was that I put myself in a position of receiving instead of pursuing. And that made a huge difference for me also. So we're going to get into all of that and more with our special guest, the host and producer of Second Act TV, my buddy, Silke Schwarzkopf. So let's get at it.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Radio, and it is the interview conversation portion of our show, and I'm delighted that one of our favorite guests here at Guys Radio is back today, Silke Schwarzkopf. She is the host and major talent on Second Act TV. As you know, I've been a guest on there many times. It's for relationships and dating over 50. And guess what? That's what we're going to talk about today here on Guys Radio. All things about dating, relationships, what men want, what women want over 50. Silke, welcome back to Guys Radio. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me back. You know, I always love talking with you. So, yes, I'm honored that you invited me back again.
Well, a quick note to everybody. Make sure you subscribe to Silke's rapidly growing YouTube channel. The show is Second Act TV. You can see me on there many times and a lot of other terrific guests and experts on all things relationships and dating, all things over 50. So let's start right at the kind of the big picture here. In your estimation, because you've talked to so many different experts, Silke, and you have your own experience also, how has dating and relationships changed in your estimation for singles over 50?
Oh my goodness, there a lot. And this is such a deep conversation, depending on where we want to take this, because let me start here. One in every three people over 50 is single. So this topic is huge for our demographic. And the reason that they're single is a lot has to do with divorce. There is a very high divorce. The highest divorce rate is over 50 versus the younger people. And they come back. We come back, you know, on the market, so to speak, after having been perhaps married for a long time. Maybe we're widowed or divorced. I mean, there's different reasons. But one constant is that many people many people have been not been dating for 20, 30 years. And now, boom, you know, your mentality is back where we were in high school or whatever you were, however old you were, or what you were doing when you were dating before. That's what you know. And you have to learn from there. And yeah, things not, have changed not a lot.
Easy. Not easy. And as we know, like folks over 50 occasionally and often, I'll say not occasionally, but often have trouble with change. And particularly guys where you get set in your ways and that's it. And you get thrown back out there in the dating pool, if you will. And that can be very tough. Who do you find it tougher for from the experts and from your own perspective, for men or for women who get thrown back into the dating pool when they're over 50?
I don't know. I think it kind of depends on, you know, the individual, everybody's individual. I think if I'm going to generalize, maybe it is men. Maybe it is men. Because like you said, the adaptation, easy for me to say, to change, comes maybe a little bit slower, or they're afraid isn't the right word, maybe hesitant to look foolish or make mistakes or be rejected, which of course is a huge part of, you know, dating. Sure. And men get the brunt of that, as they, I guess, still do. But it's difficult for everybody, you know, with women, especially as you're older, you know, the body doesn't look the same. Things are going south, as they are for men. But I think women take that a lot harder than men do. And women are judged by that a lot harder than men are.
I think I agree with you completely. You know, it's interesting now, there's a, because of the numbers you quoted, 1/3 of people over 50 are single. There's a new show, The Bachelor. They're doing a senior version. They've got this, you know, kind of chiseled looking guy with a nice gray hair who's 70. And I'm interested to see what happens with that. I don't watch The Bachelor, but I think that's very curious and interesting that's happened, because the boomer market, you know, they're sitting on a lot of money, and it's a market that, you know, they don't just go away.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Since moving here to Southern California, I notice I see these cars, like, wow, that's a great car. Look at that Corvette, my orange one, and this one. And it's always, I look, and it's not the young guys in the cars. It's these guys who are like 7 years old driving around their, you know, their hot cars. And it's because, I guess, fair or not fair, but truth be told, the boomers have a lot of money and they're spending it at that point. So how does money come into the conversation when it comes to dating over 50?
Well, you again, we can attack that from different ways. I think this is interesting, or you might find this interesting. When I first started this show, it was roughly 10 years ago when this idea, you know, came to fruition. And I originally wanted to do a television show. I'm a producer by trade. And I had written they call it a Bible in production to present to the networks, you know, a 13 season repeating show, not like The Bachelor, nothing like that, but about, yeah, starting over again after 50 and dating and what all that entails in a reality type format. And everybody I spoke with just, oh, what a great idea. We've never heard this before. Well, but you know, nobody's going to put money there.
Why not?
Because of the demographic. Nobody, meaning the networks, the advertisers, and you would know this, you were in advertising forever, that market, you didn't exist. It was the coveted market. I think it's 25-38 or something that. That's where all the advertising money goes. And it was ridiculous, because the statistics, what, to your point again, what the boomers bring, they have all the disposable income.
Yeah.
And nobody was catering to our demographic.
Exactly.
And I was actually ahead of my time, because 5 years later, all that changed. And that is how the Golden Bachelor, I know, came to be. It's because nobody watches network television anymore. I shouldn't say nobody. You know what I mean? I mean, it's now streaming and whatever. And it's a perfect move to get what maybe has the potential to be a very, you know, popular show. I've never, like with you, I've never watched The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I just think it's the dumbest. I just was like, God, but I will be watching this. I want to see how they treat this. And you know, I'll say it on your show. I'm going to try to get him on Second Act as well as the dating coach who is running
idea.
That.
I love it. I love it.
Because we're the audience for that show.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll get him because it's a perfect venue for him. And obviously he's going to get a lot of press and who knows, maybe he'll get a spinoff show, whatever. They haven't done the male, you know, the husbands of Beverly Hills yet. But I was thinking about that. When are they going to do a thing with the guys? But I guess the reason is because men don't behave the same. They don't group together and share all their stuff and piss around and argue with each other the way that the ladies do on those shows. There's not as much conflict with the guys. It's like, I'm done with you. And that's it. You know, guys don't like, we're not going to go get catty with one another back and forth. It's going to be, sorry, take a hike. But it's interesting you mentioned the money because with advertising, it was all about, and I'm saying was going after those folks who are getting into the market and are going to make decisions as to what brands they buy.
Right.
And then the thought was they buy them over and over again. Well, that's not the case anymore because everything's so disposable and the boomers have a lot of money and they're looking for ways to, you know, to spend it. And and their money, they have a lot of passive income also because the way the financial system is set up, it's just like printing money and it's not tethered to anything really. So the money creates money. And that's a huge market for advertisers now.
It is huge. Well, and it is. It's become that way. I mean, it is. They're actively going after that now, where they were actively avoiding it 10 years ago. And I experienced it. Did I already say this? From the head of development for the OWN, the Oprah's network. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love this show. What a girl I want to do. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going to get signed by OWN. She goes, but we're trying to skew younger. Mm-hmm. That was like turned me off. I never watched OWN again after that.
You know, it's interesting to that. There is a prejudice, if you will, against younger, even workers in the TV business. I have a friend who's a screenwriter. He said, and he's great at writing TV stuff. Mm-hmm. He and I wrote this scripted series based on my novel together. And he's now screenwriter in Hollywood and he teaches at USC. He said, I can't get a job on a TV show. Mm-hmm. I'm over 35.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the people who are watching those shows now, how old are they? I wonder, because they're all streaming and it's a different landscape.
They're rebooting all the stupid 70s shows. I mean, the stuff that's coming back is just, it's nuts.
Like,
can somebody come up with something new?
Exactly.
Yeah, it really is. You know, they try to play it safe, which is what television, the network, have always been all about. They try to find, you know, whatever's hot. Well, let's do that 10 other times. And that's why they're dying. Network is dying. And all these creative people have come, you know, to either cable and then now streaming and now YouTube. I mean, it's a different world. And as it has influenced relationships, you know, it's something that we have to adapt to, you know, for many different reasons.
So let's go back to our focusing on the men and the women with the relationships. We've done a good job, I think, of kind of painting the picture as to what's going on out there and how things are changing and changing faster than ever. So then you have these folks who have been in a relationship maybe 20, 30 years, and they're thrown back into this swirling pool, this dating pool. And I guess it's a good thing. There's a lot of them at least. So then none of them know what to do, but there's a whole bunch of them. So maybe there's a way of working with each other. But what do you find from your discussions with your experts and from your own experience and perspective? What is it that women want when they're over 50 that maybe they didn't put as much emphasis on when they were younger?
Well, they definitely... Yeah, they definitely aren't looking for someone to have children with. And that actually, I mean, being somewhat facetious, obviously, but that makes a big difference in what you want from a man. You know, I mean, it's not drastically different, perhaps, but enough to where what I would have wanted in my 20s or 30s, or what I thought I wanted in my 20s and 30s. You know, we've gotten a little older, a little wiser, and we realize now that, you know, the whole compatibility aspect of it means a lot more than, you know, the chemistry, the exploding chemistry. You have to have chemistry, absolutely. But in order to be, have the relationship last, there has to be a connection. And I don't think that the young people really think that way. Some do. Again, I don't want to, I don't mean to generalize, you know, everybody, but I think the emphasis on chemistry, on starting a family, on, you know, whatever lies ahead, career, you know, all that stuff, how that affects relationships. Now it's more you have that behind you. So you want somebody to who is compatible, that now you can enjoy what you've created, and whatever, if that means, you know, materialistically, values, whatever, you want somebody that you can enjoy that with, that is there with you. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio, I'm speaking with Silke Schwarzkopf. She's the host and producer of Second Act TV, the U2 sensation. And we're talking about what women want, what men want, relationships over 50. So you mentioned something about compatibility. And I was thinking about, I wonder how much when we're younger, when we're dating, a lot of it's about in the now, or you project out about 10 years or so, and maybe it's a family or this and that. But if the family's not in the picture anymore, and of interest, Sophie Viagra, or what? It's not Viagra, but Sophie, the actress, she was on The Modern Family, and she had
her husband's younger,
Joe something or other. And they're breaking up because he wants to have kids, and she's, I think, a little bit older than him, and she has like a 30-year-old child, and she's like, that's off the table from what I've read. So that's interesting. So my point is, how much in the future do people over 50 who are looking for a relationship look in terms of what they want out of it? There's compatibility. That could be sitting on the couch together watching a streamed show, a consideration could be, how many meds does this person take? How healthy are they? How long are they going to be sitting on my couch with me before I'm back to my cat or whatever? And so what do you hear about that in terms of the perspective of the over 50s dater?
Well, I think you just, you know, said it. Unfortunately, yeah, we're you know, we have more behind us than in front of us, which is one of the reasons that a lot of people wake up after 50s, like, do I want to keep living like this? Also a reason I started the show. And you do think it, well, you think about the now, you know, is this, I want to have fun now. I want to enjoy my life now. I want to, you know, can I do that now? And then once you start getting serious, or perhaps a relationship is leading that way, you do think about this. You think about retirement. Like, what does retirement look like for me? What does retirement look like for him? Is that any, you know, do I want to be in California and he wants to be in Florida? Does he want to work forever? Do I, you know, all that kind of stuff you think about. And health is a huge part of that. It is a huge part of that. Not technically, but typically, when you do meet someone, you're on that same. If you're fit, you're going to be attracted to somebody you're fit. If you're, and you attract like, so it shouldn't be anything drastic, but stuff does come up unexpectedly. And it's something that we all think about, you know, what does life look like in 10 years from now, health-wise?
As part of that, how do women then, in your estimation, kind of get started in the process of meeting a new partner? And I'll speak for the guy's perspective, but What do you hear from the women in terms of, okay, I'm back in the game. I've got to be back in the game. I'm going to go out there and meet some men. I haven't been doing this for a while. I have all these considerations in terms of the type of guy I might want. And he has to be healthy. He has to have some type of money. How do they decide? How do they go back and get out there?
Well, the number one thing is online dating. You know, which is another thing that's just such a huge difference from we didn't have that. We didn't have internet. We didn't have email. We didn't have text. You know, it's the way we communicate and meet people now is completely different. And the other thing, we haven't brought this up yet in this conversation, is meeting in person. It's great. You can still go, you know, meet somebody at a bar or this or that. But the way that it's now restricted, what is and isn't proper or protocol or politically correct, how men approach women, has changed all that for meeting in person. We just did a segment with Trevor where the, you know, she just is up in arms about this. It's like, it's really up to women, us women, well, and younger women too, if they agree, to get flirting back, give, you know, somehow give men the signal. It's okay to approach me. You know, it's okay to talk with me. I'm not going to, you know, start screaming and file a lawsuit. I mean, so many men are, you know, and I'll ask you from the male perspective of what you hear, but that we hear this all the time. And that's one of the things that really bothers me with the, you know, the younger generations coming up. I don't know what that's going to be like 20, 30 years from now, because it's almost like the sexes are being homogenized to where everything's the same. Well, I'm sorry, we're not the same. You know, I physically, we are different. I don't know if we use body parts on your show. Their YouTube doesn't like me saying that, but we're different. And those differences also dictate what we want in a relationship, whether we want to admit it or not. And I will stand by that, you know, till the cows come, somebody comes home.
The cows. Well, different, but equal. I think the idea is to have everybody's treated the same as humans, which is the right way. But when you get into that, then all the different ways of the cultural how we've been brought up and all of that. A lot of things get broken. And, you know, when you make an omelet, you're going to break some eggs. So it's tough for a lot of people to go through the changes and the amount of changes that our generation has gone through in a short amount of time is just probably more than any generation ever so far. Mm-hmm. And the generations behind us will experience even more change and faster. So it's just it's real tough. So I think that one of the takeaways is make sure, you know, if you're going back out there, just be kind and be patient because, you know, you're not the only ship adrift in the ocean. Everybody's out there trying to do the same thing, which is make a connection. So you mentioned something that is very interesting. And again, my special guest is the host of Second Act TV, the YouTube sensational show, which I'm frequently a guest on, by the way. Silke Schwarzkopf is with me, and we're talking about relationships and all things over 50. So talk meeting in person. How can you mention women want to give the signals that's okay for guys to approach them? What kind of signals do they give? Because a lot of guys are the guys who are most men, I think, tend to learn by doing. And so they have learned to approach women, if they're a boomer, probably the old fashioned way in person. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you can approach and meet more and more women sitting at home in your tidy whities. And once you learn how to do that, I think it can make men lazy. And men are also going to be a little gun shy now by like, am I going to get me too? What do I do? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get canceled if I approach this woman and say, you look nice tonight or something. They're gun shy, right or wrong. So how do women without knowing a guy and they're in a crowd, a restaurant or whatever, and they want to make contact. How do you reimagine flirting, if you will?
Well, one is just to be approachable, you know, and the easiest way to do that is to smile. Just, you know, look friendly, maybe look around the room as though you're interested in what's going on. You know, if you're sitting at the bar, maybe you swivel back, see what's going on. You know, you're not just sitting there or on your phone texting or something. And then if you do catch, there's somebody there, you know, that a specific person that you want to perhaps engage with, well, you could smile at, you know, and it just kind of, you know, I mean, you there's subtle hints you can do without being creepy about it, you know, to where the man,
Do you feel that the women have the time to, you know, play that game? And I don't mean it in a derogatory sense, but wait around for the guys to make a move. Is it okay? Do you find that they want the guy to approach them, but do they just say, hey, the heck with it? I'm on the clock here. I got to meet somebody. I like the way he looks and his vibe. I'm going to go approach him. Is that okay? Or is that just too much for some women?
Probably both. It's okay. And for some women, it's too much. And we actually talked about that too, is, you know, you and I had an episode on something similar on, you know, chasing versus pursuing, being available and just being, you know, and no, I think it's perfectly fine. if you're comfortable with that and just, you know, hey, you know, I don't know. I guess I've never done that. So I don't want to give advice on something I've never done. But yes, it absolutely is okay. It absolutely is okay. One of the easiest ways to approach somebody, period, I think, is to talk about something that has nothing to do with meeting in a romantic way. And by that, I mean like in a grocery store, you know, maybe if you're next to, you know, somebody in the aisle and they're getting a certain cheese or, you know, do you like that? You know, have you bought that before? I mean, there's stuff like that. In a bar, it's maybe a little bit more. I don't know. I don't come up with an example right now. But starting a conversation other than, you know, it's hey, can I buy you a drink?
Right.
You know, we take some of that awkwardness away, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's tricky because if you're a guy and you approach a woman in the supermarket, because people have talked about this and ask about, oh, mm-hmm. are these melons? I didn't mean that. Just came up.
Those are your melons.
How about
great,
these tomatoes?
Robert? You're gonna get canceled.
But the radar goes up with that. Does the radar go up? I guess it's an individual thing with a lot of women to say, oh, he's trying to hit on me and he's working his way through the broccoli section to do so.
Oh, God, that's so funny. Yeah, maybe not. I mean, women do. You just have to judge for yourself. Go with your gut. What's the worst thing that can happen? You get rejected. And I know that that's easier said than done, but that really is the worst thing. And, you know, if women are listening, this is one thing, a cautionary tale or a piece of advice. Be kind. You know, there's so many women, especially younger women, are so nasty, so rude, so hurtful in rejecting a man when he's, you know, when he's really, I mean, you should be flattered. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless he's a jerk or right. said something totally inappropriate and rude, just be kind. Just go, oh, hey, thanks. But, you know, I'm with somebody. You don't have to be ugly about it to where men are not, you know, with every rejection, you get hardened and hardened and hardened. Right. And a lot of that is caused by, you know, especially when we're younger, don't think about the lasting effects of something like that.
You know what I think part of it is, Silke, is the computer, the way we communicate with each other, it's so easy to delete and just dispose of people and to be rude. You know, we look at the comments that we get when I'm on your show or on my show on YouTube. I get comments and it's so easy for somebody to just come out and say something nasty because they can get away with it. And then they don't have a profile and you don't even know who they are, whatever. And that, I think, becomes embedded in how they treat people. That they don't see people as human, the human aspect of it. And they're disposable because this is how I communicate online. So that's
good point.
And for, I guess, so for the over 50 crowd, they're not so much in that space, I don't think, as the younger people, because we've lived differently. We had to do things organically and offline, if you will. So we had touched earlier about the online dating and is it a necessary evil? And it's different for, I think, men and women over 50. I'll tell you why. I want to get your perspective and from the folks you spoke to, but most importantly, your perspective. I think it's tougher for women because a lot of times they feel that the men aren't being truthful online. And I think for the men, because they learn by doing, and I think they factor in like they're going to get some BS out of it that like this is an easy way to meet women. I don't have to go up in the bar and buy them drinks or say, hi, my name is Lou. I don't have to come up with anything that, you know, if you can type out a few things and keep it going, you can meet some pretty cool women if online. I liked online dating when I was single. I found once I got a handle on it and said, I'll just be nice and curious and see what happens. And you're going to get rejected and you're going to get disposed of and deleted. But OK, but still, I don't even have to leave the house and I can I can meet women. But for women, I think they're more sincere about the romantic process, if you will. And there's something that's not that romantic about the online connection, even though, hey, I'm married because of a Match.com connection. But I think for women, it's tougher that they're putting themselves out there in a way that they probably weren't expecting this to happen in our culture, but it's here and it's not going away. And you kind of got to get your arms around online dating. If you're single, if you're a man or a woman over 50, you got to work it into your curriculum. You might have a big, great personality and you're very comfortable. You're in sales or whatever. You love meeting people, but you're probably going to have your online dating game in your, as an arrow in your quiver to be successful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, online dating is probably one of the best and worst tools that has come along. It absolutely is one of the best, because how else do you get exposed literally to people all over the world? And long distance relationships is something that has grown significantly because of that. And some work, some don't, you know, just like everything else. But yes, it is a necessary evil, and it's a matter of navigating it. And the biggest thing I think that you have to get used to is that if you're rejected in the initial phase of online dating, it really isn't it's not you. It's not, you know, I don't know why he didn't answer back or this or that, but he doesn't know you or she doesn't know you. So you really can't be rejected. You just haven't got to that meeting. I think, you know, once you met someone, you've dated perhaps, you know, even a few weeks, and then you get to know them, say, yeah, this isn't really quite what I thought, then that's different. Then maybe that has something to do with you. But initially, I think if people can get that out of their head, we've done videos on this, is that really it's not rejection. It just wasn't a match. That helps a lot. And I don't know necessarily if it's harder for, I mean, it's harder for some women. I think the hardest for women is to check that box, that age box. And you and I have done a segment on that, but right. should you lie on your profile? Why and why people do and that, but that's a whole other discussion. But checking that and realizing at least it was for me, let's put it that way. And I never lied. I was mm-hmm. whatever as I put down. But that's a little hard sometimes to where I am that old. Who would want me now if you're insecure, which a lot of us are when we come back on,
Sure.
And then the dishonesty dishonesty is all over the board. You just need to expect it. And it's not necessarily malicious. It's to try to present yourself in the best light. And some people just don't see the difference between a lie and a little over the best light line. If that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. So we're talking about relationships and kind of what men want over 50. What are some good places that you hear to meet the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever you're looking for when you're over 50?
Dog park. As silly as that sounds, I mean, that, you know, you have there's usually only one person walking a dog. And, you know, the assumption is that they could be single, maybe they're not. But I've heard there's all kinds of stories about that. So that, you know, consider that. And here's a new one. And that's being written about all over. Pickleball.
Okay.
Pickleball is like, it's the social sport. And there's already tons of articles where people have met on the pickleball court and are now married. And if you're not familiar with pickleball, you know, it's similar to, I'm sure you probably are. It's the fastest growing sport in the United States, if not the world. But everybody, just about anybody can play. It doesn't require a whole lot of a skill set. Not that everybody can, you know, be great at it, but you can certainly play. And it requires talking. There's a constant change of who you're playing with, you know, once you get all that. And then there's just this social environment that I can't speak enough about. Think about pickleball.
You know, that's interesting because you really get to know who somebody is. They say, when you play golf with somebody, you get to know who they really are, because you can see their temper and how they deal with frustration and winning and losing and whatever. It tells a lot about somebody, because you're spending a couple of hours on the course and your whole personality is going to come through. I was up in Carlsbad yesterday at a beautiful little place that sells donuts and stuff. And I was sitting there with my wife. We stopped to have a coffee, and their coffee was terrific, and the donuts are terrific there. But the women, I was like, if I was single, I would be getting coffee here every day. It just, so maybe, is there something with, you know, coffee shops, the ones that are not like a Starbucks where you get online and blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah, and then you in and out where you go into work, but something a little more in the casual where the more you can sit around, you can have a, you know, it's not quite as rushed a feeling. And you don't want that for a coffee. You know, you might want to, you might be on your way to work. I come from a big city, so it would be get the coffee and go to work. There wasn't that much fraternization when you're getting your coffee. Mm-hmm. But out here, I see so many places for coffee and so many people like chilling out. You think yeah. that's a good place for a woman to meet a guy and vice versa?
Probably. I don't drink coffee, so I don't know the coffee shops. But when you said that, what came up for me is like we have a favorite neighborhood restaurant that has a bar with a bartender who's been there 30 years. Mm-hmm. And his clientele is all our age or old. I mean, it is our demographic. And mm-hmm. it's the most social bar to where, yeah, people have met there. I mean, there's couples, of course, go there. But there's always something going on. And next thing you know, you're talking to somebody and then you're introducing them to somebody else. And that's, you know, that's a great way to meet through introduction, too. People just need to know. Tell people that you're, oh, yeah, you know, I'm this. Yeah, I'm looking to. I mean, let your friends know. Let whoever know that you're, you know, you want a date. That's actually a really good way to meet people through referral. And then there's another restaurant that has a huge bar. Where again, all our demographic and a third one too. And it's very social. And yeah, people meet there all the time.
I think, go ahead.
No, that's. Mm-hmm.
I think the key, Silke, is what you said there is a social. It's not about it being a bar. It's about a meeting place. And
exactly.
You want to kind of fish where the fish are in a way that doesn't look like you're fishing, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I think that is a great idea. I always suggest that if you're over 50, particularly for women, and you want to meet guys and you don't know where to meet them and you don't want to approach them, just focus on yourself and do activities that you mm-hmm. enjoy. So
well, here, let me before I forget, meetup groups. Meetup groups are fabulous because yep. it's also targeted. The activity is targeted and you... Yeah, there's so many different options of meeting people that way. That should have been on the top of my list when I started talking with you.
You know, it's interesting because I know a woman in the market and she's like low 50s and mid 50s maybe, and she's in a crypto group. So yeah. I saw her. I was driving by one day and I saw her sitting with all these guys with beards and stuff, and it's a crypto group. They're all sitting around scratching their head trying to figure out crypto. It's hilarious. So it's not just for pickleball groups. You can
right.
do a meetup group for anything. And the point is, you know, do the things that when you're over 50, you're on the clock. So do the things mm-hmm. that you enjoy. And then hopefully you'll find people yeah. who have a similar passion. And that's a great way to meet somebody mm-hmm. if you have a, you know, you have a shared desire and shared
absolutely
something instead of trying to force your way into like, well, I know the guys are going to be over here, so I'll do that. If you don't want to do it, though, you're not going to do it well and you're not going to have fun. So just do the stuff you want to do. There's always yeah. going to be other. If it's a good thing to do, there's like anything else. There'll always be people. There's plenty of people who go around and there'll be yeah. other people who are engaging in that area. So if you want to play golf, go play golf. You'll meet people. Mm-hmm. But don't hold yourself back trying to second guess like, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? Where are the
just
guys? Or where are the women? Exactly. Just do it, mm-hmm. as the old expression is. So what are the traits that women over 50 are looking for in guys? Are they different? I know compatibility you mentioned earlier, but I mean traits in terms of values and how they take care of themselves, the monetary situation, the health. Are there specific personality traits? Appearance, I guess, it, you know, it doesn't change that much, I guess, but I think the skews change.
There's some. It's fine. Hold on a minute. Let me grab this here because I actually had some. I ran across this article that I thought was interesting, and because they did the Zoox, the dating site, they did a comparison between 30s, 40s, and 50s women, what they want in men. And the number one thing is honest and trustworthiness. That makes sense. You know, that makes
yep.
sense. Of course mm-hmm. we want that. Like integrity, yeah. But then it comes down to like in the 50s, I thought this was interesting, being a gentleman came up in that list. And that didn't even come up in the 30s. in the 30s group. Right. And there were a couple other words that were very descriptive, perhaps, of our age group or something, or how we grew up. That, yeah, definitely. I mean, it does come down to compatibility and just being able to spend time having fun with someone. I think the chemistry does become less and less important, at least initially. And that's something that we actually try to convey, is that especially for women, you know, we are so focused on, oh my gosh, I'll know when he walks in, you know, I'll know you're the one. BS, you know, it's not. Women especially, all the research shows, is that you really, the long-term relationships developed over time. There wasn't that. An immediate spark can actually be a red flag, because you're acting on you know, strictly. Yeah. On chemistry. So,
and that brings up a great point. And again, my special guest, Silke Schwarzkopf, she's the host and main talent and interviewer on the sensational Second Act TV YouTube show. And that is, sometimes we want things, we have an idea in our head, and I want to get the woman's perspective on this. And from also talking with other women experts, we want things that may not be in our best interests. How does that factor into the over 50 crowd?
So making lists, which is something that a lot of dating coaches recommend, really has to be qualified what that means, because it works against, or can work against you. You know, the 6 feet tall, must have this kind of a car, this kind of a job. People actually do that. Women have done that because they think that's what that means. It doesn't. It's about sharing values with someone. You know, it goes much deeper than the peripheral stuff. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that women make. I think men are less focused on doing that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but women are very focused on, well, here's what I want, here's what I'm looking for, you know, I have to check all the boxes, and that can really work against you, especially after 50.
Yeah, I think with guys, and I'm just from my own perspective, my own opinion, it's they often have a type, mm-hmm. but they could break the type, and the type, mm-hmm. a lot of times is a physical type.
Yes.
But I think that if you look back, and I've done this, at the people I've dated and had successful relationships with, mm-hmm. they weren't necessarily my type. Mm-hmm. Some were, some weren't. But I don't think you can just follow that. Like, I have this little rule book and the checklist, mm-hmm. because it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. And if it does, you know, have a parade. That's great. But most likely it's going to be something that grows, because when something happens too fast, sometimes it burns out just as quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know. I agree. Sometimes the list is almost is some sort of defense mechanism, or you're putting up a wall, like, well, I knew online dating wouldn't work or something. So you don't actually have to go through with it. But because when the more open you are, the more accepting you have to be of who you meet.
What from your experience interviewing, because that was interesting, and I was just processing this as we're having this conversation, because we've talked so many times, uh-huh. and I always think about my own, when I do my show, I've interviewed over 750 thought leaders from all different mm-hmm. areas, and I get a free education. You have interviewed so many people who are experts in the over 50. A lot of it is relationship focused mm-hmm. dynamics. What have you learned, and what has been the biggest surprise? As an expert, and I think you are a qualified expert now in this area.
Well, I never call myself an expert, but I learn every day, and I love doing the interviews. What I have learned personally,
What have you gleaned from this experience, from all your guests, that, like, wow, what's the biggest things about relationships over 50? And secondly, what was the biggest law? Aha, I really hadn't thought that. And it's like a wake up.
It's really the aspects of being too controlling, or just being too focused on what people think, what people like. I released what people think of me about 2 years ago, and it was just the biggest revelation. You just kind of, when you let go of that and you can be yourself, be your authentic self, I think maybe that's one of the biggest things to learn is don't be afraid to be your authentic self, because that's who you are and that's who you need to bring to the table in order to make anything happen.
Oh, I think that is a great insight. And sometimes you mentioned the word control also, kind of a last thought I want to get your perspective on is I've noticed that some people who are so controlling, and because the world is kind of out of control, that right. a lot of people try to be even more controlling on the little yeah. things that they can control, but mm-hmm. it can leave you kind of empty because you're always trying to control and then you're right. never satisfied with what you have because you're trying to control everything and more and right. more stuff keeps happening. That's more and more things to control. And it's exhaustive. As it well, is. It leaves you, because I've noticed that being around people like that I feel empty after I'm dealing with them.
I know. And that was one of my big things I had to learn when it comes to relationships and meeting. And it's kind of, I have some funny stories about that. But that was a revelation to me that what I thought I was doing to be nice or to be helpful with men or you know, just to be supportive was just one big pain in the ass for them. And I don't think we think about that, especially, you know, our age group, especially we kind of, we have that line between being the housewife, the you know, the woman, the men are in charge, to then going through the women's lib movement and all that, where we are now. So a lot is still, we cater to men and whatever you want to do, but just understand that some of the behaviors, or I'm talking to myself now, is not supportive. It's controlling and mommying. Don't be a mommy.
Right. A fantastic conversation as always. You are an expert, Silke. So don't second guess yourself on that. You truly are. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show. It's a pleasure to be on your show. And we'll do it again. I'll see you soon. All right.
Robert, thanks so much. See you soon.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, terrific conversation once again with my buddy and the host of Second Act TV, the wonderful YouTube channel about relationships and dating for the over 50 crowd. By the way, I am a regular guest on Silke's show. You can catch me there. We've done, I don't know how many segments, but over 1 million views there and growing. And we really have great chemistry, as you probably have experience while listening to the show and watching our show and watching me there, that we really get a lot of information out there, and our goal is to help people find partners and have great relationships over 50, no matter who you are, what you are, and what you want. I think it's important that we all are flexible when we're over 50. We realize that we're on the clock, and we have to, if we're set in our ways, we have to realize that if it hasn't happened, maybe we need to rethink things a little bit. We need to treat everybody equally as human beings. And when we're dating over 50, you know, if you're the woman and you want to make the first move, I think that's cool, because you can't wait around for guys when you're over 50, because you may be waiting forever, and sometimes guys don't read the signals that well. So it's okay to flip the script a little bit. I know a lot of women still want guys to make the first move. They want them to plan a date. That's great. But if it comes to the point where you're not getting that action that you want, then you've got to take things into your own hands and make your own determination and make things happen on your own. I think the most important aspect is to really change your mentality from chasing and pursuing to being open to receiving, and also being adaptable to the changing dating landscape, and being able to embrace the digital technology and online dating with all of its flaws. Think of it as a way of meeting new people and have fun with it, and factor in the reality that you're not always going to get, you know, there's going to be some lack of truth in advertising sometimes, but that's just the way it is. You make your determination and you move on to the next person. So, Guys Radio, I'll see you next week. And until then, like I always like to say, guys,
finish first.